This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon news. We get started today. We do have a couple things to let you know about. Two vehicle accidents, Bruce and Washington in downtown Roseburg. Some lane blockage there right now. Also, accident out on Interstate 5. Sounds like the Edenbauer exit or just north of that. Not sure if it's north or southbound, but watch for that as you're traveling this afternoon. Well, after enjoying the beach of the Barbados for about a month, Mike Winters is back.
Oh, he's a pretty good liar, isn't he? Yeah. The Barbados beach. I wouldn't go there on a bet.
You think you would go? I thought you liked beaches.
I like beaches, but I don't like Barbados.
Well, okay. That just came right out of the top of my head, so I don't know what's wrong with Barbados, but that's another show.
Well, I don't either, but I just said it because you said what you said. How's that?
I see.
Oh, welcome, welcome, everybody. If you got a question about your lawn, your garden, your trees, your shrubs, oh, what to do, how do I get started, all that kind of stuff, you can call and ask that question. 673-4464 is the number you call, and we'll get you right on, and you can ask your question. Have a friendly discussion, and I will help you all that I can. So there, you got it. It's in your court.
So here's my question. How come the leaves are not picked up in my yard?
Because you don't pick them up, or your wife doesn't pick them up, and consequently you have leaves in your yard, but you might get a landscaper in there or something to do that.
Well, I had it partly done and then kind of ran out of time, and then I've had just a lot of other things going on that had to take precedence, so...
In backyard or front yard or both?
Mainly in the backyard. The big leaves.
Yeah, those big leaves. Yeah
they're a pain.
Yeah, I know.
And I didn't get it all done before the end of the city leaf program as well, which means once I do get it done, I'm on my own getting them out of there.
Well, just throw them in the street. Nobody will know.
Yeah, right. Live radio. Throw them in the street. As heard on KQEN. We'll be hearing from Public Works on that one. Thank you so much.
Well, that's okay. My pleasure. I just want to help you out. That's all. So, it's the new year, and your yard hasn't changed over the winter, so maybe before spring and summer get here, a new look might be nice with some color, more color, less lawn, more shade, maybe a few fruit trees and that kind of thing. So it's time to think about, hey, how can I make this prettier or better or more usable, or you just have to kind of frame it in your head and say, this is what I want the ultimate look of my yard to be, and then begin to plan it. And there are plenty of people around here that can help you, landscape contractors and such. And even though I sold my business a year or two ago, I still do consultations and help folks out on a real limited basis. But it's fun to design a yard, especially if you have a tiny yard. That's easy to do. You don't have to put a lawn in or anything like that, but maybe a kind of a Japanese garden look to it, or just kind of a few shrubs here and there and a lot of bark mulch and call it good. And you don't have to mess with it too much. It's a whole lot easier there. So, but for more color, if you want a lot of color, there are thousands of plants to choose from. So your job is to do some research to see what is available in your area. Like you go nursery hopping, or you go to some of these big box stores, and they should be getting their color items in. They're probably now or, soon, very soon. Spring is almost here, even though the sun shined. Well, it shined pretty good until I pulled into the parking lot here. But, walk through and see And read the labels and on these plants if they don't have any blooms on them. But most plants do bloom. It just depends on the time of year. Some bloom all summer, all spring, all summer and fall. And then there are some that are spring bloomers, and then there are some that are just fall bloomers. So you can decorate your yard in any way that you might like and that is compatible to your lifestyle. Maybe you barbecue in the backyard, or you have three little kids that are under 6 years old and they just tear the place up. So you want to maybe hold off till they get to be about 15, you know, or 16, somewhere in there. But there may not be new selections in nurseries right now because it is still early in the year, and spring, it was kind of like a spring day today. The sun did shine. I like that. It wasn't warm. I think I was the high at my house today was 41, and I think it's maybe 45 or 46.
Yeah, it's 41 right now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, so, but the sun did shine, and when the sun was shining, it felt good. So, you know, it's just... You get into February and mid-February, and you start to see a lot of plant material begin to appear at different box stores and grocery stores and nurseries and things like that. So be on the lookout and go shopping and ask a lot of questions. And if you don't know how to plant it or what kind of soil it takes or something like that, you can always ask the person who is waiting on you, and if they're knowledgeable at all, they will tell you exactly what to do and to get your best results. So just think about that. But like I say, there's going to be, you know, a whole truckloads of plants arriving for spring sales. So keep an eye open for the new plants. You'll start seeing them here soon. But just don't go out and buy plants until you have a plan in mind. You've got to have a plan to start with. You just can't say, let's go buy this and spend $200 or more on plants and then bring them home and think, well, what do I do now? Where will I put them? I mean, how big do these things grow? Those are all those kinds of questions that you need to have answered prior to your shopping event. it's always easier to plan and get kind of a roundabout idea of what you might like. And if you have small kids, you're going to maybe have a play area out back or a sandbox, or depends on how old your children are. If they're still in that 4, 5, 6, 7 category, there's lots of things that the kids do, and they'll do it in a pile of dirt. If you just put a pile of dirt back there for them, they'll make caves and play trucks and cars on them. So that's a good. But always make a list first of what you might like, and if you get stuck, visit some nurseries again and ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions, you know, like, how big does this get? How long does this bloom? When should I prune it? How should I prune it? How much water does it take? How much fertilizer does it take? Because the watering and the fertilizing are very, very important, and as is the planting procedure itself. And it's like... if you got heavy clay, you're going to have to take that clay out of the planting hole and put some good soil in there so that the plant will grow. And it's something that people, a lot of folks that are not familiar with plant materials, they'll plant something and it looks good and they'll water it every other day. And then by day 10, it's dropping leaves because you've rotted the roots from too much water. So they don't take a lot of water in Douglas County. It's you can get really hardy stuff, and it's very little care. And you don't have to do it all at once. You can pick a small spot in the backyard or the front yard and say, what can I do with this? And then just buy a few things and begin to place them around and take a look at it. You don't plant them right away. Just place them where you think you might want to plant them and just look at them for a week or so and say, yeah, okay, that looks good. Or maybe that's too many, or maybe that's not enough in that one area. And so consequently, you want to rearrange your plant materials and spread them out, or maybe maybe put them closer together. So it's a and then if you're still stumped, you can call up one of the landscaping companies and ask for advice or a plan or a consultation. Like I said, I still do consultations and things like that. I think, over my career, I think I might have designed at least 3,000 landscapes, and I still have a few ideas, and I haven't repeated my idea process. Each yard is unique. Each yard has a certain amount of sunlight that hits it at a certain time of day, and you have to know these things so that you can place the plants in the proper spot, and they don't get burnt or they don't get swamped or anything like that. And you just want to have the best results you possibly can get. And like I say, a consultation starts with the client usually sharing their ideas. And then my part was always to see if these ideas would work. And if they wouldn't work where the client wanted to plant, then I would explain to them the reasons for that, or it's too shady, or it's too wet, or it's the ground is really, really hard or rocky, and this is what you have to do to make sure that plant is going to survive in that location by digging out the rock and digging a, a larger planting hole so that you can put extra soil in there, so when the new roots begin to grow, they've got a good place to grow. And after a year or two, they get into the harder soil, if you will, but they're well established at that time, and they're not going to go sideways on you. They're going to continue to grow, continue to look good. But like I say, drainage is very, very important. Over my career, when I got calls from folks and said, hey, my rhododendrons are looking poor, or my junipers are turning brown, or, the first question I'd always ask, well, what's your watering schedule like? Oh, I water every day, or I only water, three times a week. And I said, well, have you ever felt the soil a couple inches below the ground level to see how wet it actually is? Well, no, I haven't. Well, I said, that's the first thing you want to do. And if it's soaking wet, that's your problem. You're watering too much, because most plants, even rhodies, even azaleas, roses, those kinds of things, they're tougher than what you think. They don't need a lot of petting and wooing and watering, and that's the thing right there. That's one of the main keys to success, is how much water do I put in. And at the same thing with fertilizer. I've found folks that get fertilizer and throw a couple of handfuls around the bottom of the rhododendron and wonder why all the leaves kind of flew off in different directions, because as the fertilizer was getting into the plant system, the plant can't handle it. It's always best to do just a little bit and see the reaction, over a month or 2 months, and then maybe do a little bit more. And spring and fall are probably the best times to do the fertilizing, because then it's a slow release kind of deal. And there are fertilizers that are, quote, slow release. The water hits them, and only a certain amount of the ingredient from the fertilizer actually gets loosed into the ground. And every time you water, a little bit more goes out. And it's a little bit more expensive than what you have 16 for pastures or something like that. Don't use 16 in your yard, by the way. It's mainly for pastures. It's for farmers. It's for ranchers, that grow a lot of hay, like 50 acres of hay or something like that. So keep it minimal, water and fertilizer, and you will have good results. We got a break here already?
We do.
Okay, we'll be back. Hang on.
673-4464 with your comment or question. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon at 4:23, the afternoon report coming at 5. If you think today is cool, wait till Friday through Monday when the overnight lows are going to be in the 20s in the Umpqua Valley.
Thank you for telling me that. Now I have something to look forward to.
Or not. Or maybe that's when you get your plane ticket to someplace warmer.
Yeah, that would be intriguing. Anyway, I'm talking about plant materials and redesigning your yard or thinking about designing your yard. And just these are just some basic hints to follow so that you can do it correctly. Not overdo it, not underdo it. If you underdo it, that's not a real big problem because you can always add. But if you buy too many plants and stick them in the ground too close together in bad soil, you're not going to be pleased with the end result at all. And so these are, you know, the questions that a lot of people have when I go see them for consultations and things like that. I always do kind of a spotty soil test. In other words, I got a shovel and I'll dig around where they want to put some things, want to plant a tree or something like that, and just to see what the soil type is. Most of Douglas County is a clay-based soil. Clay is wonderful in one way. It is chock full of nutrition because it doesn't drain very quickly. The other thing is bad because it doesn't drain very quickly, and you just can't dig a hole, stick a plant in there, and throw the original soil back in around the hole and stomp it down with your feet because it's not going to live. it's gonna bite the dust sooner than what you want it to. So it's always good to have as much information as you can get when you're planting plants because they're alive. They're a live commodity, and you spend good money nowadays. It's amazing how much plants cost nowadays. When I started in the landscaping and nursery business 50 years ago, you could buy juniper at in a retail facility for $1.95 for a gallon plant, which was, you know, a pretty good deal. And now those same plants are like, you know, $5.95, $6.95. I mean, that's how much the prices of plants have grown simply because of the government intervention about minimum wages and all kinds of federal regulation that seems to come down on business, especially in the agricultural industry. But that's another show. So anyway, so, like I say, if you have clay, how do you fix it? What do you do if your soil won't drain? That's very, very important. You know, wet clay soil is just not good. It's for new plant materials. You know, old trees that are in there or plants that have been in there for a long time, they've somehow adapted to that and they're doing okay because they're in the back of the yard, say, and they never get watered anyway, so they survive on what's available in the soil moisture. So it's another way to fix that wet clay thing is by mounding your planting area. Let's say you've got a section of backyard that's it's flat, but it seems like water accumulates there. So how do I keep those plants alive? What do I do if it's just too much clay? Well, I always recommend that you mound and build a mound. That's going to look good. You know, it can be straight, it can be curved, it can be, like kind of hilly if you want. And make sure it's at least 18 inches or 18 to 24 inches in depth so that the plant root system can get started and do well. And once it gets going well and it's been in the ground for a couple, 3 years, it'll actually get down into the clay soil and on its own accord and be okay. You're good on that. But like I say, the drainage is, I've seen more dead plants due to bad drainage in Douglas County than just about anything else. You know, there's sometimes somebody calls me and they got a some red spiders or something like that, which is an easy fix. But clay soil is not an easy fix. It's hard to get anything to really grow in clay soil unless you amend that soil, like mounding or mixing a lot of good sandy soil with some fine grind old bark mulch and make a nice organic kind of mix out of that and plant it in that. And then you see good results. And then another important factor is sun. You know, how much sun is in that area? Is it deep shade? Is it full sun or part shade? What is it? And you want to make those determinations before you're, as you're buying plants, to make sure that you ask the proper questions of, hey, will this grow in the shade or will this grow in the sun? Because there's a lot of plants that they can take morning sun, and then as long as it's afternoon shade, they do fine. Then there's plants that you can put in that spot. Let's say an azalea. There are certain azaleas that'll take full sun. Don't get me wrong. There are certain rhodies that'll take full sun. And I'm picking on rhodies and azaleas because those seem to be a real popular plant, and they're easy to grow if you do it correctly. They're easy to grow if you plant them in the correct spots. Like I say, morning sun, afternoon shade is an ideal location for those types of plants. And there are other plants that will fit that bill too. In fact, most plants will. And just pay attention to, you know, what they are and what they do. Read about them. Get on your internet thing there and see what they have to say. And just remember, wet clay soil does not drain fast and drowns plants simply by rotting the roots. So you're mounding, you're putting in good soil, you're doing all that so that root system will take hold and anchor itself into your existing ground. So that. And soil, sun, and drainage, those are the most important factors to be aware of when you're planting things at home. And there, like I say, there are many plants that can do well in full sun and many that won't grow in hot, sunny locations and conditions. So getting advice, like I say, from the professional can save a lot of money and frustration in the long run, especially if you planted 30 or 40 plants in your yard and 50% of them don't last a month or a month and a half for either soil conditions or hot sun or a combination of those kinds of things. So it's always good to get advice. Always get advice from a professional, and it'll save you a lot of money and a lot of frustration in the long run. Sun lovers, there are many sun lovers, and I won't list them all, but here's just a few that are hardy in sunny, hot conditions. Number one, you can't go wrong with junipers. And people think, well, junipers are this green plant. No, there's 50, 60 varieties of junipers that you can choose from light green to dark green to some that have a kind of a purplish look to them. There's 50 varieties that you can look at, but they do very well in sun, and they can even take bad soil with little care after the first year. And the ground cover types, they come in many colors and sizes. Gold Coast is one that has always been one of my favorites because the new growth is bright gold, and then it fades in as the plant gets more mature. That golden look fades to like a light green, but all the new growth every spring is a bright gold. Very attractive juniper. They really look good. They really brighten up your yard. And it was always one of my favorites, and I pushed a lot of them. We grew a lot of them. And, you know, when you put them in the ground with the background of, say, some bark mulch or something like that, they really show up, and they are like no care. You water them a couple, three times during the first year in the ground, and after that, you never have to do a thing to them because they're fully rooted, and you can't hurt them. The only way you can hurt them is to give them too much water. So it's like a no-maintenance landscape. It's easy to do. They grow, most varieties, they grow about 2 feet tall, and like I say, they'll spread till 6 to 8 feet in time. So you don't want to put them 3 feet apart. You can put them 8 feet apart or 10 feet apart. And after a few years, you can see how they're growing. But you can always prune. You can always cut back if you think they're getting too crowded. You know, you're not going to hurt them, and you can prune these guys in just about any time of the year. Usually I do those kinds of things in the fall, winter, or early spring, but you can prune them in the summer as well. They'll do good. But they're going to give you nice color all year long. They're going to be green, they're going to be gold, and they're going to be bright and basically maintenance-free after the first year. The second year you might have to do a little bit, but by the third year, hey, they're on their own. They don't care about you. They don't care about your water or your fertilizer. They're well-rooted and ready to go. Then there are tree varieties as well as spreaders. There are some that hug the ground. Some grow, like I say, 2 or 3 feet tall. The Western Garden Book lists 96 varieties, I think. So there's a lot of choices to make. And they love full sun and very little water and fertilizer. And like in my first house, I was always into gardening, but I was not not an expert landscaper, let's say that. I had ideas and all that. But anyway, I thought, well, some nice little juniper along my driveway would look really nice. And back in the days when Payless was out there selling stuff, I walked by one day and there was these bright, golden, beautiful little junipers, gold, yellow ends. And I thought, man, that'll look good. So they're about, you know, a foot high and bright golden and green. So I planted them, and I was surprised 3 years later when they were like 4 to 5 feet wide, and they were hanging into the driveway, and I learned a good lesson. They need room. They need room to spread. So plant them, like I say, at least 8 feet apart. There are dwarf varieties that will spread only 4 or 5 feet. It takes a long time to get there, you know, spread maybe 4 or 5 feet. And then there's even more dwarf varieties that will only spread about 3 feet, and they're very, very slow in growth, so you can control them very easily. But I find that a lot of folks that do their own landscaping and their own planting, they're not knowledgeable enough to know that, hey, that plant's going to grow X amount of feet in X amount of years, and they end up tearing stuff out or pruning them very radically after, you know, 3 to 4 or 5 years in the ground. And sometimes they know how to prune and sometimes they don't. So that's how that goes. We got a commercial?
We do.
Okay, we'll be back.
4:36, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM 1240 KQEN.
Is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon to you, 4:39, 21 minutes away from 5 o'clock. It is 41 chilly degrees in the Umpqua Valley with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
And it's been 41, it seems like, all day, for crying out loud.
I mean, our temperature really is not varying a lot these days.
Yeah.
We're really running in about 7-degree range for the entire day from high to low.
Yeah, I'll tell you that.
And right now, what we're calling a high today really should be a low.
Yeah, truthfully. Well, I was talking about junipers on the last segment, and the reason I do that is because they're probably a good beginner plant if you don't have any experience with plant materials. A juniper is usually relatively inexpensive in comparison to rhodes, azaleas, and things like that. And like I say, if you need some experience, that's a good plant to start with. And they come in all sizes, all colors, all shapes, and they're relatively inexpensive in comparison to other things. But when you're planting them, like I said, make sure you use a good potting soil or a mix that you make, and they're going to root in quickly, and water them in with vitamin B1, Liquinox Start. What it is a root enhancer. It's like super vitamins. You go, whoo, and that thing just goes at it. And you want to repeat that at least twice, about a month apart, and that really gets your plant materials going good. But feel the soil, like I say, before watering. Dig down there with your fingers a couple of inches, and if it's damp, don't water it. If it's dry, give them a good soak. And after a year in the ground, water, maybe once a month in the summer, maybe twice a month. This, and I'm talking junipers here, because overwater will kill them very quickly. They're a desert plant. They're an arid country type plant. So you're going to have a different schedule with your rhodes, your azaleas, your geraniums, your petunias. You know, they're shallow rooted. They need that. They need that extra dampness, not soaking, but make sure that they've got sufficient water, and water in the early morning or late afternoon, early evening, and that way there's not a lot to worry about. So on the junipers and the rhodes and things, I was counting in the Western Garden Book, and there's 96 varieties, and they're all hardy, and they love sun. And if treated, like I say, correctly, they're good for at least 20 years or more, but you can get 20 years out of them. And the upright tree variety are good, like, say, for 50 years, and they can grow 40-plus feet and are very attractive trees. So don't crowd them against any structure or another tree, because you'll be thinking, what do I do now? How do I train this? What do I do? How do I prune it? Well, you need to get somebody in there that is an expert tree guy or gal, and get their input on it, and you tell them what you like the desired ending to look like, and they'll do it. There's quite a few good tree people here in Douglas County, and they've been around for a while, and I've pruned, oh gosh, literally thousands of trees and shrubs in Douglas County over my last 50 years, and I know what gets the best response. Some things you prune heavy, some things you prune lightly. It just depends on the type of material it is, where it's growing. Like I say, sun and shade. A plant in the shade will normally not grow as much as a plant in the sun, and it just depends on the variety that you get. So just think about those things. But there are, like I say, so many things out there that you can look at and choose from. And so when you're shopping, go to several different nurseries and look and see what they have, and speak to the people who are working there, and get their input. That's very, very important. And if you have to take notes, go for it. Take notes. But there are like hundreds of shrubs to choose from for your landscape. And I just want to tell you about some of my favorites. Of course, rhodes and azaleas, There are only about 800 species and more than 10,000 named varieties. So that's kind of a pretty good selection out there if that's what you're looking for. But like I said, they thrive in a loose, organic, rich soil with a lot of mulch, with a lot of good drainage, and like I said, clay is not for rhodies or azaleas or many other plants either. Even a juniper will struggle in a clay soil, but after it acclimates itself, it'll be good. And I planted some, oh gosh, small juniper along my driveway many years ago when we first moved in. You know, just I decorated up, went to Payless, and they had some for $1.95 or something, which are probably $7.95 now. But I put, they were probably 3 feet off the driveway in a small bed that I created, and I put them about 3 feet apart maybe, and I'm thinking, well, that's enough. They have space to grow. Well, within 3 years, they were in the driveway. They were supposed to be slow growers, but they were in the driveway, so I had to prune them back fairly radically, and they were getting too close together, and after a while, it was such a hodgepodge mess that I just yanked them all out and just went with something a whole lot smaller. So I've learned the lessons I am trying to teach the radio audience are lessons that I have learned the hard way and wasting my time, money, and effort in doing those kinds of things. But in rhodies and azaleas, for instance, there are about 800 species. Like I said, 800 species, and there are 10,000 named varieties. That's amazing to me. But they thrive in that loose, organic, rich soil. And clay is not for rhodies and azaleas. And I've planted many in landscapes and in my yard, and I use very little native soil. And some I've experimented in planting in just pure bark, no soil, no dirt, if you will, just fine grind old bark mulch, and they thrive and they just grow like crazy, and they do very, very well. And you can't overwater that way. That's an easy thing not to do. So, They're a surface rooter, and so they don't they need good drainage, but their roots don't go down deep. They're not like an oak tree or a maple tree that puts down a taproot 6 feet into the ground or 8 feet into the ground. They right there on the surface. So summer watering, at least, like I say, once a week is about best, but you always want to check, and you want to fertilize maybe 2 to 3 times a year very lightly with rhodie food. And after the blooms fade, break them off. Get them off there because they just take energy. They just take energy from the plant, and you're in there trying to figure out what the heck's wrong with my plant. What's wrong with well, there's still a certain amount of energy going to those dead flowers or dying flowers or flowers that are on the way out. So they're not hard to grow. You know, you can go up the North Umpqua and you get up there above Steamboat a ways and you see wild rhodies growing all through the timber. They're just some of them are just huge. They've been in the ground for maybe 50-60 years and they're huge. They're trees, for crying out loud. But if you go up in there and stop at one of the campgrounds and just take a walk down some of the trails, Watson Falls is a good area to stop at. It has a big parking lot. You can park there, and it's relatively flat, and you can walk through there, and you can just see how big and how large these rhododendrons actually get. And like I say, I've seen them with five inch trunks, 5 inches in diameter, and you know that thing's got to be 100 years old at least, because they don't put on that much diameter growth in any 1 year, and they'll be, you know, 12 to 15 feet tall with flowers up on the top with no care other than 3 feet or 4 feet of snow during the winter and a lot of shade in the summer from because they're in the timber. Over the years, many clients wanted their rhododendrons removed because they looked bad. And I said, well, you can prune them. And well, what do you mean? Well, how would we prune them? And I can give them a demonstration. But they said, well, why don't you do that? And I said, well, I will because it's going to be a drastic pruning to get them to bush up again and not have those long leggy limbs. And I give them a quick demonstration on what I'm talking about. And they roll their eyes usually and say, are you sure? I say, yeah, I'm sure. It'll come back. Don't mess with it after we've done it. I'll give it some super fertilizer. And you only water it, like I say, once a week, maybe in the heat of the summer, and you'll be amazed at what happens. Well, after we got a break.
We do, right? In mid sentence.
Yeah, way to go.
Oh boy, 4:50. You'll be back with more Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show and News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon 4:53, Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt, 673-4464, our phone number.
Yeah, if you have a question, we got time to answer it. So I've been talking about rhodies and azaleas and some other ones, but those that they're not hard to grow. They're easy to grow, and regular maintenance is the key to success. And like I say, over many years, many clients wanted their rhodies pruned because they look bad. And so we go to the residents, and they look bad because they've never been pruned. All the new growth was at the top, and it was kind of spindly, and they had all these bare branches and stuff. And I explained to them, well, see, and if you look on the stems of rhodies, older rhodies, you'll see little bumps along the stem. Well, those are what they call latent lateral buds. In other words, if the leaves on top, the snow crushes it or breaks it off or anything like that, the plant has a survival system that these little buds, these little bumps you find along the stem, they'll come out as leaves. And so what we have done, and I've showed people this hundreds and hundreds of times, one lady, she had these rhodies that were so tall and so sparse, and she said, get rid of them, I hate them, get them out of here. So we did, we dug them up, but we didn't take them to the dump, we took them to the nursery. And I had these huge plastic black pots, and oh gosh, maybe 36 inches wide and deep, and I pruned them, these rhodies, even farther back, and there wasn't a leaf on them. And I put them in these pots with pure mulch, and I gave them extra B1 and some other things just to kind of see what they would do, and left them in the back of the nursery for almost a year, and I watched them very carefully, and Within several months, the buds started to come out on the stem, and within another couple of months, those buds turned into leaves, and they just started to be absolutely beautiful. And the following year, they were starting to bloom, and so we took them up front into the retail yard, and I put an outrageously expensive price on them, and I thought, well, nobody will buy these, but they were landscape specimens. They were just beautiful. And I think I had 9 of them, and we sold every one of them within a month period. That's how. And I explained to folks, the people that bought them, I says, now this, see, you can see where I pruned it before, and this is what happened, and this is what you can do. So if you prune them lightly on a consistent basis, you'll always have a good full plant, and it'll always bloom for you, especially if you fertilize it, you know, once or twice a year, early spring, late fall, that kind of thing, so that they have something to grow on. So that's the beauty of pruning. It's like cutting your fingernails. Your fingers don't die. You don't get any diseases. Your fingernails keep growing, and they grow, and they grow. But rhodies and azaleas, like I say, I've been picking on those today because people think they're so tender and exotic and all that. They are, but they're tougher than what you even think, and they do very, very well with minimal care. And like I say, to make that point, drive up the North Umpqua Highway in May and June, and you'll see hundreds of rhodies in bloom, especially up around Tokadee and up Diamond Lake area. It's they're out there, and you can walk through them and look at them, and you can see some of them that have been crushed and smashed over the years, but they grew anyway. They grew in spite of the disasters that they had to face. They grew anyway. And that's kind of the story on most shrubs and plants. Anything that needs pruning, don't be afraid to prune it. Prune it back to good wood, and you'll see a miracle happen, because the root system is alive. It's just that the top got damaged. It got too much sun, or it didn't get enough sun, or you hadn't pruned it in 5 years, and so consequently it was really reaching for some sunlight, some fresh air, or whatever. But when you prune them back, you got the same root system, but you got more energy going into the plant that you just pruned, and as a consequence, you get all brand new leaves and a much healthier plant. So that's the key, and that's the secret to that. And go ahead and try it. If you don't want to do your whole yard, just do one or two items in different locations and see how they react to what you've done. And you go, wow, look at that, what a change! And then you can do the rest of the yard at your leisure. So anyway, I hope you learned something today. It's a pleasure always to share information with a lot of folks. So thanks for listening.
Well, you've got another minute left.
Another minute? Well, I could sing.
No, you could not sing.
Okay.
Well, now, talking about all this reminded me that I've got things that probably need to be pruned in my yard.
Yeah, that's true. You always do.
The giant, what's that giant thing in front of the window?
Hydrangea.
Yeah, that I haven't got to that yet either.
Well, cut her down about 3 feet and you'll be good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we've cut it all the way down.
I know.
Then I get
and
yelled
guess,
at.
Yeah, but look what it comes back beautifully.
Most of the time.
See, well, I wouldn't cut it to the ground, but, you are kind of a radical dude, so, you do those things. But, don't be afraid to prune. It's good for them.
All right. With that, you can catch the podcast in a few minutes at 541radio.com. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show back next week, Wednesdays at 4 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.